none other than Brother Carson Marshburn, consented to preach for us tonight. Amen. I remember his first day at Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. He stepped outside of our travel trailer that we traveled the country with evangelizing, and jumped on his little plastic three-wheeler and hit a hill right there beside the church going down. Fell off about halfway, landed the rest of the way, and Carson's first day at Landmark was full of tears and strawberries and scratches and rug burns or whatever you call it. Hallelujah. And that was his initiation to Landmark. Landmark is the only church that he and Cody have ever gone to full time. Ever. One good thing about that is that they certainly think it's no other place is better than this, because they haven't been to those places very long. Praise God. But Landmark is the best place to go to heaven from. I'm just prejudiced like that. I just love Landmark. And we're going to let him come and preach the word of the Lord. Let's give him a welcome this evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. We could go home, I believe, right now and have said that we had an incredible time with God already here tonight. I believe that many miracles have happened. I've seen several young people at the altar praying, people tears flowing down their face. You know, you can't help it when you're in the presence of God to feel what we have already felt. And I believe it's a direct result of all of your praise and worship that's already happened. We're going to dive right into the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 35 through 39. Mark chapter 6, verses 35 through 39. It says this: "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place.'" Somebody say, desert place. "And now the time is far past. Send them away." This is where the multitude had gathered together to listen to Jesus. This is just before he fed the 5,000. They said, "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Somebody say, desert place. "He answered and said unto them, 'Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?' He saith unto them, 'How many loaves have ye? Go and see.' And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass." In reading the scripture earlier today and last week as well, I noticed something kind of interesting, and I want to talk about it for here just for a few moments. Several times before we got to verse 39, they had said, "It's a desert place. It's a dry place. No life. That's what a desert is." But then in verse 39, we hear the voice of Jesus. He says, "Tell them to sit down by companies upon the green grass." I want to speak to someone here in this house tonight that may feel as though you are in a desert place, that may feel as though you are in a dry place in your life right now, a place of no hope, a place of no help. But your feelings do not dictate your location. And I want to preach for just the next few minutes on a subject simply that I entitled this: "When the Desert Blooms." When the desert blooms. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask God to bless. Holy Ghost, Lord, we're calling upon your name, the name that is above every other name, dear Lord. God, for we know that your presence is here in this house. We know that your anointing is here in this place right now, God, and we give you praise for it. We give you glory and we give you honor for what you have already done, dear God. And we're anticipating with excitement, dear Lord, what is going to happen here in the next few minutes. God, anoint my lips of clay, dear Jesus, and the ears of your people, dear Lord, to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. You may be seated. All the world has in this day and time is hope. Hope in tomorrow. But what is the nourishment of hope for the world? The nourishment of hope for the world is us. The nourishment of hope for your friends, for your family is you. The answer is you and me. Now, I know it's Sunday night, but I have got to say something that's been on my mind from this morning. What an incredible message that we heard this morning. If you were not here, you missed out on a mighty move of God that happened here in this house. But with a message preached like that, it began to jog my memory and began to jog my thought process of all the people that we have had come into this sanctuary at one time or another, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, dedicating their life to an almighty God, and all of a sudden for us not to see them anymore. Many of us, family and friends and co-workers and neighbors, we have had them here in this house with us, sitting beside us, and we have seen the blessings of God be poured out upon them, but only to see later on in life how the enemy at one point or another was able to get them into a dry desert place. My thought here tonight is simply this. By a show of hands, can someone raise your hand in this house if you know a backslider off the top of your mind right now that should be in this house giving God glory and God honor? I thought there would be that many hands up. I believe with all of my heart that if we was to get each and every single backslider from the very beginning of time to where we came to Lexington and began to preach the Word of God here at Landmark, if we could get every single backslider back into this house, which I believe is God's intention and goal and will happen in the very near future, that this building will not be able to contain what is going to be in it. I believe the miracles and the signs and the wonders that we will be seeing here in the near future are going to be things that we never even in our own mind imagined could happen. But because of our prayer, because of our faithfulness, because of Saturday night prayer, because of our Bible reading, our fasting, and standing upon the Word of God, knowing that He is faithful to hear our prayers, it will happen. I want to speak to someone here tonight. I have a scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I believe that this scripture alone in itself will speak to each and every single one of us, myself included. Job 14, verses 7 through 9 says this, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." Somebody say, it won't die. "Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground." Next scripture. "Yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." I'm here to tell you tonight, and I'm here to speak to backsliders that may be watching us here tonight, that the scent of water, you will begin to bud once again. There is not death that is going to conquer your life. There is not. When we begin to call upon our God here in this house, there is going to be a shaking that is going to begin to happen. And this house will be full of those that we thought would never come back to the house of God. But at the scent of water, it will bud. The story goes like this. The old stump was long dead. It had been a long time ago in the summer since its strong limbs would sway in the wind, since young children would sit in the shade of its leaves or where they would take a rope and swing on a strong branch. The glory days were long gone. The spreading out of limbs and leaves are finished. Its former glory is now gone, and it looks like nothing will ever come from it again. But the roots are still there. I'm speaking to someone today that it seems like all you can see in some of your loved ones, your friends, and even yourself is a stump and a memory of where something strong once stood. But I'm also here to tell you tonight that I can see the water and the roots are still there. You see, there's something powerful that happened when our guests and our visitors came to this house. They began to grow roots deep in the Word of God. And when roots are grounded into something strong, when roots are grounded deep into the earth, there is not a storm that can come that can completely destroy what my God has begun to grow. As long as the roots are deep in the ground, that tree has the ability to grow. I know what I'm talking about because just the other day, I ran into a backslider. And I begin to tell him, we're missing you. It's been a long time since we've seen you. Where have you been? Only to see his face just do this as he began to recall, and memory flooded his brain about what God used to do for him and about how he used to feel in the presence of God. What happened was the roots were reminded of the water that once rained down from heaven, and the roots are still there, Landmark, and the tree will continue to grow. I want someone in this house to recognize tonight that we are not done seeing the revival that God has preordained for this house. If you're a mom or a dad and your sons or your daughters are not in this house, I believe right now that it is high time to begin to worship God, because the roots are still there. It's time for someone to grab hold of the water. My question to you is this: if we are the hope for someone, what nourishment are we providing? Are we in a dry and desolate place, or are we providing from the river of life? John 7 and 38 says this: he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You want to know how we're going to begin to let those roots sprout once again and the trees to grow once again? It's because those of us that have grounded ourselves in the word of God, those of us that the Lord has called to become disciples, to find those that are lost and hurting, out of our belly will begin to flow that river of living water. That's why when you run into them, Landmark, and you shake their hand and you say, I'm praying for you, you begin to see a smile come upon their face. Why? Because that water is beginning to flow. We shouldn't be giving out dry property. We should be giving out water of living life. I believe that it is high time that when we come face to face with those that are hurting, with those that are hungry, that we not try to avoid them, but yet we get face to face with them and we begin to remind them of what God once did in their life. If you find yourself in a dry and desolate place, it's time for you to stir up the gift of God that is within you. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have that water inside of you, and it's time to let it out. A church will not grow simply because a message goes forth on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night. A church will not grow because a song is right on time. A church will not grow because the air conditioning is just right. A church will grow because the people of God know how to water those that have been in a dry and a hungry and a hurting place. The story of Esther depicts a lady who was plucked up and placed in a different surrounding, an unknown place, while bearing the roots of an entire people's race. The lives of her people depended on her, but God knew just how strong she was. I remember a long time ago, I was probably about, 12, 13 years old or so. We was working outside, and me and my dad, we were trying to move some plants from one area to another, and we had young people that were at the church, and they were or at the house, and they were helping us out as well. I remember telling one young person, we need to get that bush from there to over there, and we need to replant it. It wasn't a thought on my mind, because my dad taught me how to peck up bushes and begin to move them, and it's okay, you can do that, and there's certain ways you got to do it in order for it to continue to grow. And so I told him, I said, we need to get that to over here so we can replant it and it can grow over here. We need it. And I walked off and began to work on something else. A few minutes later, I heard a four-wheeler revving up, and I turned around just in time to see a chain wrapped around the bush, the four-wheeler up on its back wheels, and then all of a sudden, boom! The bush comes ripping up out of the ground, roots broken, dirt flying. And the young person with a big old grin on his face saying, yeah, I got it. Not understanding that there was no hope for that bush anymore, simply because the nutrients that had been packed around the roots at that time were broken. You see, when you move a plant from one place to another, you have to keep the dirt around the roots or the life for it to stay alive. So hang with me, I'm getting somewhere. Our roots are grounded in the Word of God. And everywhere we go, we have to stay surrounded by the Word. Everywhere we go, we have got to be surrounded by prayer. Everywhere we go, we have got to be surrounded by praise and worship. Everywhere we go, we have got to be in a land where there is flowing milk and honey, where you're not in a dry or a desolate place. We have got to be in a place where the presence of God dwells. You ever wonder why guests and visitors come to the house of God and why they're here with us and the first song is being sung and people begin to worship God and people begin to run the aisles and people begin to pray? Why our guests and visitors can sit back and then all of a sudden you see tears flowing down their face? What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. They had been in a dry and a desolate place for so long that they have almost forgotten what it feels like to be watered by the presence of God. What it felt like to feel like, oh my goodness, I can be in a place where I can grow and I can become something different. I can become something stronger. You are in a house right now where you can become greater than you've ever been, where addictions and afflictions can go, where sickness can be healed, where families can be brought back together, where young people can find themselves at an altar of repentance. You are in a house right now where the presence of God dwells freely. You see, those men in the Word of God had known what it had been like to be in a place where it was so dry. They had traveled. They had been in the cities. They had been in the towns. They had been in the deserts by themselves. They had seen the times where food was scarce, and they had seen the times where water was nowhere to be found, but yet they continued to make their way through. Once again, they found themselves in the mindset of thinking that I am in a dry place, I'm in a desert place, and they began to tell Jesus, tell them they got to go. Tell them they're hungry, they're thirsty, and they didn't realize that at that exact moment that they were in front of the one that could create the water. The miracle was incredible when he began to multiply the fishes and the loaves and he began to feed the 5,000. But I believe that another miracle happened at that exact moment. And while they were too busy looking at the fish and the loaves being multiplied, they didn't see that green grass was growing under their feet. Because when my God steps on the scene, it doesn't matter how dry, it doesn't matter how dead, it doesn't matter how long. When my God steps on the scene, something has got to grow. I'm speaking right now to a parent. I'm speaking right now to a mom. I'm speaking to a dad. I'm speaking to a young person. Maybe a young person, you've been coming to this church for quite some time and you've been coming here by yourself. I've seen young people have to walk to church. I have seen young people ride bikes to church in the past. I have seen young people sneak off because their families didn't want them to come to the house of God, but yet they made their way here anyway, hiding from their parents so that they could be in a place where it was not dry and where it was not dead. I'm speaking to someone here tonight that needs to know that you're not in a dry place anymore, because the moment that you stepped through those doors right there, you stepped on the scene of where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwells, because he inhabits the praises of his people. You want to know why it's dead in some churches down the road? It's because there's no praise, there's no worship, there's no prayer, there's no fasting, there's just... But in this house, a place where we allow the Lord to have his way, whatever you decide, whatever you want, oh God, that's what you can do. In this place, we are not in a desert. Begin to look at your feet, for the ground that you stand upon, it is holy ground. Our roots are grounded in the Word of God. Esther had a hard life. Both her parents were dead. She was orphaned and living with her uncle, and now forced away from home to have a king look upon her. But God had a plan. How many of you love it when God has a plan? You see, during the storm is when roots grow, if you allow them to, because that's when the rain falls. But if we are too caught up trying to avoid hurtful situations and embarrassing moments, we will never be hit with what God wants us to actually receive. Later we read that there came a time when Esther had to go before the king to save her people from death. The law at that time was that if anyone came before the king without being summoned first, they would die. That's when the storm began to brew. But we don't read about Esther hiding. You see, I believe it is the will of God for you to have an audience with the king, no matter what the rules are, no matter what people think, no matter what people say or threaten you with. It is the will of God for you to have an audience with the king. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood in the eye of the storm and became stronger. If you have ever seen the aftermath of a forest fire, all the undergrowth, the small brush and the little trees are all consumed by the fire. Yet the big trees stand still. You may be scorched and they may be a little battered, but they still stand when all else has fallen. I'm not speaking to trees tonight, but I do believe that I'm speaking to someone that wants to grow a little bit stronger and wants to reach higher. Acts 1 and 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What does that mean? That means that you're going to be able to walk through the dry land. You're going to be able to walk through the well-watered land. You're going to be able to climb the mountains. You're going to be able to go through the valleys. Why? Because everywhere you go, you have the nutrients that it takes to survive. Everywhere you walk, everyone you talk to, everyone you come in contact with, you are not hindered, you're not swayed, you're not broken. Every time something comes your way, you're not going to say, "Pastor, I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know how this is going to turn out." But you're going to say, "I am grounded deep in the Word of God, and I know that where my God is, the grass is growing." Someone needs to hear what I'm saying right now. Because after you've received the Holy Ghost, you shall receive that power. Maybe it's not so much of a nerve, a problem of the brain, but maybe it's a little bit of a situation of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to stir up the gift of God that's within you every now and then. Maybe you need to recognize that if He brought you to it, He can take you through it. And if He's carried you through before, He can do it again. Someone needs to know that our God is not a God of yesterday, but He's a God of yesterday, today, tomorrow, next week, next year, and to eternity. I wish someone would begin to clap your hands if God's ever brought you through a situation in your life, if God's ever healed your body, if God's ever restored you, if God's ever delivered you, if God's ever redeemed you. I wish someone would lift your hands to heaven and with a voice of triumph begin to shout, "Hallelujah!" When you begin to recognize what lies within you, you begin to recognize that there are no limitations to our God. There are no places that we cannot go where the enemy will be able to hinder us. There's no areas that we can find ourselves in to where we feel like we are utterly defeated. Because every time we come face to face with the enemy, we're reminded of how we looked at him once before, and our God took care of that problem, and our God took care of the other one, and our God will deal with this one, because there's all power in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you just got to remember how to say the name. When Jesus stepped in the boat, all he said was, "Let's go to the other side." He said nothing about a storm. You see, it's not our job to talk about the negative. Jesus knew they were going to be all right because the very creator of life was right next to the roots. Esther saved her people by holding on to the nutrients. She didn't focus on the problem. She focused on the solution. When people look at a big, beautiful tree, they just stare in awe of its size, strength, and beauty. But what they don't see is what's under the ground. It's twisted. It's nasty. It's dirty. And it's big. But that is what gives it the strength to stand. All the storms it went through in its lifetime was just to help it grow. We see people that are mightily used of God. We see people that are blessed. We see people that pray over situations in others' life, and it seems like as soon as they pray, then all of a sudden a miracle happens. I've seen it. I've been around it. I've traveled. I remember one man of God, dead, pointed him out. He said, "You see that man?" I said, "Yeah." He said he prayed for a young boy that had, he had some type of terrible disease, something that you just... Doctors, they look at it and they say there's no hope. He's going to have to live with it the rest of his life. That man of God laid hands upon him. And when he laid hands upon him, it disappeared right there in that very moment. And it was something that had to be seen by the entire crowd because it was such a great miracle. We see those that are used mightily of God and we say, if we could only get to that place in life to where God can use us like that. But then when we face our situations, myself included, sometimes we find ourselves in a place to where we wonder, is there any way that we can get through? But we have to be reminded, once again, and I'm going going to say it till you believe it, that if God brought us to it, He can take us through it. And there's a growing process that our God is trying to do. Every year that goes by, Landmark's roots grow deeper. Every year that goes by, Landmark's roots grow stronger. Every individual that walks through the back doors, the church grows stronger. It doesn't grow stronger so that we can say we're larger in number. It grows stronger so that when the storms of the world grow stronger, we have the ability to face it and say we can make it through. All around, there are churches that I believe with all my heart are being broken and they're being battered and they're being destroyed. But the reason this church will never be swayed and the reason this house will never be broken is because we are founded upon the truth, and we are founded upon revival, and we are founded upon prayer, and we are founded upon the Word of God. If you don't want to hear it preached, then buddy, if it's in the Word of God, maybe you don't need to be here. But if it's in the Word of God, we're going to preach it because it's the Word of God that grounds us. There's a strength in the house of God. There's an anointing that's here in this place. And that anointing is here to break every yoke, every stronghold, every sickness, and every disease. It doesn't matter what you've come to this house with. You can get your way to this altar here tonight. And I believe with all of my heart that those diseases can fall to the ground. I believe with all of my heart that those addictions that you thought you would never be able to get rid of, that at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden you're going to sense a relief that's going to come over you. And when you walk out those doors, the very same devils and demons that battled you will be no more because you have grounded yourself in truth. I saw a picture just today, and I was sharing it with Pastor just before we came in. I was on the internet and I saw just this picture popped up, and it was just this tree that just looked awful. One of those trees that you look at and think, that thing needs to be torn down like yesterday. 2x4s holding the arms of it up. Metal, sheet metal wrapped around the base of it. It looked awful. Charcoal black. No, not a leaf on it. So I said, okay, what's the deal here? Something's going on. And I read into it a little bit deeper, and it was the only surviving tree from Hiroshima. The only surviving tree from that horrific day. And they began to tell the story about how before that bomb hit, that this tree was gigantic, that it was beautiful, that it was something that when everybody looked at it was in awe of it because of its strength, because of its age, because of its beauty. And then all of a sudden, the day came and that bomb was dropped. Everything around was destroyed. Everything around was dead. And we see this tree that the natives all of a sudden began to get around and try to prop up and try to help because it became a symbol of hope. And they saw it and they said, this thing will not die if we have anything to do with it. And to this day, it stands. It might not be pretty and it might not be showing leaves or anything, but it stands still today. And the reason it stands is because before the bomb hit, before things got bad, it was already strong and it already stood tall. I'm here to tell you tonight that you might be getting a little bit battered and you might be getting a little bit bruised, but since you have been praying, since you have been fasting, since you have been standing strong, when the enemy comes your way, he might try to catch you on fire, he might try to destroy you, but we're going to gather around about you and you will not die. I saw that picture and I thought, oh my goodness, that will preach. Because just like the church family, we are here, one body, the body of Christ. We are here to help. We are here to lift you up. That's why when you come to this place, there's no judgment. That's why when you come to this house, it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. I wish somebody would hear me right now. It doesn't matter what you have been involved in. When you come into this house, you step into a family that's going to say, hey, I'm here to hold you up. I'm here to prop you up. I'm here to lift you up higher than you've ever been. And when you're healed, I'm going to shout. When you're delivered, I'm going to shout. When you get blessed, greater than I've ever seen, I'm going to shout. When miracles come your way, I'm going to shout. When you see financial blessings, I'm going to shout. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying in this house here tonight, because that is what God desires of His church. The same applies to us, a lot of us in here tonight on the outside. It looks so great. It looks like nothing could ever break us. You see, the fruit that is being brought forth year after year and the fortitude. But what you didn't see was all the nights spent in prayer because the world was crashing down. The nights that addictions and afflictions plagued your home. When our own loved ones and friends look down upon us, that is the reason we are strong. That is the reason we are better than before. That is the reason we move on with full force, because we allowed ourselves to be fueled by the storms. Our roots go deep into the church. Our roots are too big to be pulled up by small things. Hear me, young person, as the youth pastor right now, I want to talk to you. At a young age, it's paramount that you understand right now that you are at the age right now to where you cannot depend upon your parents' salvation. You cannot depend upon how much your mom or your dad prays to get you into heaven. It's time for you right now to begin a walk with God that's going to bury those roots deep, deep, deep into the ground. So that when the world comes your way and the world begins to hit you and the world begins to try to break you, you'll be able to stand strong and say, I might be 16. I might be 17, I might be 18, but I've got 18 years of growing deep in truth. I've got 18 years of prayer. I've got 18 years of fasting. And before I could open my mouth, my mama was praying for me. Before I could open my mouth, my daddy was praying for me. That's why here today I can stand stronger than ever before. And I know that my future is bright and there's nothing that will derail my walk with God. But you've got to understand and you've got to do it now. Stress can't derail you. Embarrassment can't pull the roots out of the ground. Drugs can't derail your walk with God. Pornography can't jump in the middle of your life and begin to destroy what God is trying to do. And my Lord, my God, laziness cannot get in the middle of what God has in store for you. It's not time to sleep. It's time to get up. Because hear me now, Landmark. You might be able to hit the alarm clock right now for a snooze, but one day there's going to be an alarm that's going to sound, and you can't. Cannot hit the snooze button on that alarm. For when that trumpet sounds, we'll be called home. I'm feeling this deep in my heart, and I'm done, so you can stand up right now with me. I'm feeling this deep in my heart and my soul because I know it has been preached, it has been taught, and there have been ministers that have come here that have only been to this church one time, and as soon as they step behind this pulpit, they say there's a church of 1,000 on this hill. What is it that's happening? They're sensing that this is not a desert. I believe with all my heart that as soon as it was said that, I think Jesus probably got a little bit irritated, because what they were saying was, you need to send them away because there's nothing here that can feed them. Jesus. Do you imagine Jesus looking at a crowd of people and say, y'all need to go somewhere, and we're running low on food. This is a desert place, Jesus. They're hungry. They're thirsty. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide, but I'm not only going to provide. I'm going to provide and I'm going to perform a miracle, because what you call a desert place, when my feet hit it, it doesn't become a desert place anymore. It becomes something that's well watered. You see, someone here in this house today, like I've already said, you may feel that you're in a desert place in your life. You may feel because of your surroundings, because of the things that are around you and how you may feel that you are in a dry place in your life right now. But someone needs to look down towards the ground, because when you look down, you're going to see it's not dust and it's not dirt, but there's grass growing underneath your feet, because God is on the scene. And when God steps on the scene, when you stepped into this house, you stepped into something. Something greater than you could imagine. When you came into this place, and I'm not just saying this because this is my church. And like Pastor has already said, I haven't been to any other churches as a member or anything like that. I've been around and I've preached. And so I've been to several other churches. And I can say that this is the greatest church, because I've been to a bunch of them preaching. This is the greatest church. But guest or visitor, listen. From the very beginning of the service, when tears begin to flow down your face, and I know who I'm talking to right now, when tears begin to flow down your face, I want you to recognize something. That didn't happen simply because it was a good song that was being sung. It happened because when you came in here, God said, welcome to a place that's not in the desert. Welcome to a place that's well watered. Welcome to a place where you will never thirst again. Welcome to a place where there's food that you... this is what I want us to do right now. I've been feeling this. Our backsliders are coming home, Landmark. They're coming home. In the name of Jesus, they're coming home. I believe with all my heart while I'm saying this that there's some watching me right now. You're coming home. When they get here, when they begin to get around these altars and they begin to call upon God, let's not stand back and watch and hope God does something, but let's get on the scene and begin to let those waters of life begin to flow out and watch God grow something that the enemy has cut down. Because there is hope of a tree that at the scent of water, that it will. So this is what I want us to do. I want us to make our way down to the front. And as you make your way down to the front, I want you to imagine in your mind right now as though you are walking hand in hand with that individual that's in your mind, that backslider, that family member, that coworker that's in your mind right now. And when you get here, I want you to lift them up with prayer. And as you begin to call upon God, don't say things like, God, if it's your will, if you don't mind, I want you to begin to pull down strongholds. Because I believe that when we begin to call upon God, that they can be stirred in their home, that they can be stirred in their job, wherever they are right now, something can come over them and they can say, I don't know what's happening, but I know I gotta get in the presence of God. So let's do this right now. With every hand lifted high, I want you to begin to call out to God. But as you call out to God, I want you to say their name. And when you say their name, I want you to feel as though you're pulling down that stronghold right now. And I want you to be full of anticipation and expectation as to what God is going to do here in the near future. Do you believe it with me? All right? In the name of Jesus, right now, go ahead. Come on, call upon Him. Call upon God. Right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
The devil is defeated. He is defeated. The devil is defeated.
hands and praise Him with me right now. Lift your hands and glorify the name of Jesus with us right now. Amen. We celebrate today. We baptize one in Jesus' wonderful name. Folks have been encouraged. Folks have been strengthened. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. We've had first-time visitors today. God is good and has been good all over the house today. And we